Well, January 2021, what's all that about? Here we are at the beginning of a new season for each and every one of us. Welcome once again to our Sunday morning service. I trust that you are all keeping well. And just a reminder that if there is anything that we can do to assist you in any way whatsoever, please contact myself, Susan, or Jean on social media. Right. This morning, as I was reading scripture this past week, I was reminded of myself as a 16-year-old boy going to my first job interview. And I was really, really nervous and didn't know what to expect. And I went to my first interview, and the owner of the business looked at me and he asked me one or two questions. Then he said something which I thought at the time was quite strange. He says, "Can I have a look at your hands?" So I stretched out my hands and I showed him my hands. And as I said, I was 16 years old. He took a look. He asked me to turn them over. He took a really long look at my hands. And then he said this. And it really was a strange statement, I thought. He said, "You have the job. You're on a 3-month trial." And after those 3 months, I was accepted in a full-time position. And I asked him about this. And I said, "Why did you look?" His name was Tommy. "Why did you look at my hands? Why did you look at what was in my hands or what was so interesting about my hands?" And he said this. He said, "I could tell straight away by looking at your hands that you was a person that was willing to work, that you wasn't afraid of work, that you had cuts and you had scars of a 16-year-old boy, that showed me that you was used to hard work." So with that in mind, I want to read my first scripture. And I want to say something about hands as we go through this. Hopefully it will make sense to you. This is a message that will encourage you, inspire you, and hopefully challenge you as well. Is that okay? I'm glad you said yes. Right. Exodus 4, verse 1. Let's just start at the beginning. Moses answered. God speaking to Moses. God said to Moses, "I want you to go and say this. I want my people to be set free from their captivity." And Moses answered, "What if the leaders, what if they do not believe me or listen to me or say the Lord did not appear to you?" In verse 2, "Then the Lord said to him, 'What is in your hand?' 'A staff,' he replied." Just want to pause there before I go on to my second scripture and say this. So often, I believe that we can look at what's in our hands and we can think it's so insignificant and ordinary. But what God took this insignificant, ordinary situation, and he did an extraordinary thing. All he had in his hand was a staff, a wooden staff. And it was a shepherd's staff. It was very familiar to many people in that day. It was used to walk with. It was used to guide the sheep. It was used to kill snakes. It was used to guide and protect. It was an ordinary thing. And yet God did extraordinary things through it. He needed to show this man that he was with him. So what's in your hand today? What has God given you? What's physically in your hand? What's spiritually in your hand? Maybe you might think it's familiar. You're familiar with what God has placed in your hands, that you don't realize the power and the significance of it. So let's read on. Let's look at Ephesians 6, starting at verse 16. If you have a Bible, please open it and read with us. We want to know that this is God's word, not just my thoughts, hey? Amen to that. Verse 16, "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith." Now, we're looking at here, God is saying, "I've given you an armor, I've given you a belt of truth, I've given you a breastplate of righteousness." But because I'm speaking about hands and what God has placed in our hands, I want to just focus on two things out of this passage of scripture. All of it is encouraging. God says, put on the full armor of God. But he says this in verse 16, take the shield of faith. We know what a shield is and we need to put it in our hands and we need to put it up, don't we? Take the shield of faith And then it also says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we have the shield in one hand and the sword in the other hand. We have faith and we have his word. Let me find a Bible. Here we go. The word of God. This Bible in itself, if you was to use it, would do a lot of damage. But when you lay hold of the truth of this through the faith that God has given us, the natural becomes supernatural. I want to suggest that we can be so familiar with what we read, so familiar with God's word, that we sometimes don't realize how powerful it is when we mix it with faith. So what's in your hand? Well, I can tell you this. If you're a Christian, if you're a Bible-believing Christian that has accepted Christ through faith, being given a deposit and accepting a deposit of the Holy Spirit, that you have at least two things in your hand. At least. One of them being faith and the other one being his word. In Acts 3, verse 6, it says this. It's talking about Peter. We read the story some weeks ago where he goes to the temple and he's accosted, if you like, by someone begging. And Peter looked at the beggar and he said this, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. He didn't concentrate on what he never had. And so often we can do that. If we're not careful, I want to suggest that we can concentrate on the things we don't have. We can say as individuals, I'm not tall enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not wealthy enough. I'm not wise enough. We can say as a church, we're just small. We're tucked away in a village hall somewhere where we can't meet. We don't have many young people in the church. We don't have many old people in the church. We don't have many rich people in the church. We don't have this. We don't have that. We can look at what we don't have. Or we can look at what we do have. We can make excuses sometimes to say, if only I had a bit more money, I could do a bit more. If only I had a bit more wisdom, I could do this. If only I could preach like so-and-so, I could. If only I could reach more people, I could. Let's not look this year at what we don't have. Let's look at what we do have. Yes, I want to get excited because this is the year that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Yes? This is to spur one another on. So let's not look at what we don't have. Silver and gold we don't have, he says. But what we do have, in the name of Jesus, we have faith. We have his word. We have his promise. We have a deposit of the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing what is to come. The Bible says what we have is this. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me and it lives in you. We have it. We have faith and we have his word. John 1 or 1 John 5, 4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. We have this. We are overcomers of the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. So by faith, we've overcome the world, Scripture says. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's us, his people. We believe, yes? We believe his word? We believe his word? Yes. We have faith? Yes. Then we are those that overcome the world. We've overcome. We are overcomers. Scripture puts it this way, we are more than conquerors. Let's keep that Bible there at hand in case we need to use it again. In Isaiah, and there's lots of scripture in Isaiah that will encourage us, provoke us and enable us to see that we take the old and we take the new, we mix it together and we see the same revelation of the Holy Spirit, the same revelation of God for us, his children. What's in your hand? If you're a Christian, you have at least two things. Faith. And his word. Faith and his word. Minimum of those two things. In Isaiah, it says this. In Isaiah 49, starting at verse 2, he made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow. He concealed me in his quiver. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. The word of God is what God has given us. When we speak out his truth, having faith in what he has said, when we speak out his truth, the Bible says it is like a two-edged sword. Sharp, sharp, sharp. It will bring division. It will divide. It will conquer. It will do what it accomplished, what God said it would accomplish. It will do. If we have the faith and we have his word and we mix it together. What do you have in your hand? In Isaiah 40 verse 8, it says this. For grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Let me encourage you, church, with that. Seasons come and seasons go, but the word of the Lord stays the same forever. The Bible says, and I want to remind you, he is the same yesterday, that's right, today and, correct, forever. He's the same. He doesn't change. The seasons change. Maybe there's times where we usually get snow and we don't get snow. We usually get rain and we don't get rain. We usually get warm weather and we get cold weather. There's times where things seem to be upside down, back to front and inside out. But when it comes to God's word, he's the same. Yesterday, today and forever. Isaiah reminds us, the grass withers and the flowers fall. They come and they go, but the word of our God endures forever and ever and ever. Amen. So often, if we are not careful, some of God's people, they look at what's in their hand and it becomes so familiar they don't realize the power that they have. Just as the staff was a familiar thing to see in the day of Moses, a familiar thing to see with the Israelites, not just the shepherds, but staff. The staff in the hand was something that many people used. For Christians, let's not be over familiar with faith and his word. Let's realize the spiritual impact through what we have and what we do with what we have as we go forward this year. What's in your hand? Yes, faith. Yes, his word. That's just two things that God has. Let's stick with Isaiah and look at Isaiah 45 verse 19 just to encourage us. I have just to look at what it says in Isaiah 45 verse 19. I have not spoken in secret, God says, from somewhere in a land of darkness. I have not said to Jacob's descendants, seek me in vain. No, I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. When we look at God's word, he hasn't said anything in darkness. He said it in the light. He hasn't said it in secret. He's revealed it to mankind. He revealed it through his written word. He reveals it through his rhema word. He revealed it through his son, Jesus Christ. He didn't hide it. He brought it out for all to see. Truth and faith and hope and revelation. What's in your hand? Sticking with Isaiah. Isaiah 55 verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and it does not return to it without watering the earth. Get the picture. When the rain and the snow comes down from heaven, it doesn't evaporate until the sun comes out and it's already saturated and watered the ground. Making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Seed that we can sow and bread that we can eat. So the rain comes down. It waters the earth so we can have seed and we can have bread. In verse 11, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So when we speak of God's truth, when we speak God's word, it produces something. Let's not be too familiar. Let's be in mindful and impactful. Let's be a people that will, when the question is asked, what's in your hand? We have faith as a shield that will protect us. And we have his word, that as we speak his word, as we declare his word, as we pray over his word, as we receive his word, it won't be ineffective, but it will be effective. That's an encouraging word right there, isn't it? Just a reminder as we go into the, we come into this year, that yes, we can look back on the good and the not so good, but we can also look forward to the plans and purposes that God has for us, his people, to prosper us and not to harm us. Yes, he's given us protection. Yes, he's given us a shield. Yes, he's given us his word. So my question is, what's in your hand? The answer is faith and his word. They're just two things that he's given us. In Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. The word of God is alive. It's alive. It's a living thing. It's not dead. It only becomes dead when we don't mix it, when we fail to mix it with faith in the Holy Spirit. It becomes a dead word. But it's alive when we speak it, we read it, and we pray it with faith, believing that the Holy Spirit will do what the Holy Spirit said he will do through God's word that he's given me and you. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him who we must give an account to. God is at work. Amen. Amen to that. It's an encouragement. God is not sitting dormant. He's active and he's alive. In Proverbs 19, many are the plans of a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Many are our plans. Many are those that around us will plan and scheme, but it's what the Lord purposes that prevails. And the Lord says that he will return for a victorious church. We're his church. He will come back. And when he comes back, he'll take us with him. If we die before he comes, we go to be with him. If we are still alive when he comes, then we go to be with him. That's the good news of the gospel. It isn't just about these few years on earth. It's about an eternal perspective. What do you have in your hand? Do you have doom and gloom, or do you have God's plans and purposes? I'm glad you said God's plans and purposes. Let me leave you with this final scripture in Matthew 14, starting at verse 19. And he declared, or he directed, should I say, let the people sit down on the grass. Why did they sit down on the grass? Well, read this portion of scripture for yourself. They'd come to listen to this teacher, this preacher, this wise man, this man that they heard about, this man called Jesus that would lay hands on the sick and see them recover, that was speaking such wise words that they wondered where he'd come from. How, just a carpenter, how come he has so much wisdom? They came to listen and they were hungry. And Jesus said, give them something to eat. We don't have anything, they said. But there was a boy who had his packed lunch. And he had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Verse 19, he, being Jesus, directed the people to sit on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. 2 very familiar things, bread and fish, natural food. Jesus took what this young man had in his hand, what this boy had in his hand, he took the 2 natural things, looking up to heaven, gave thanks, and they became a new supernatural provision. Just the same as Moses with his staff. a natural piece of wood. And because he was obedient to what he was told to do, it became a supernatural sign. When Jesus gave the natural bread and fish up to his Father, it became a supernatural provision. So I want to say to us afresh as a church, what's in your hand? Faith and his word. Sometimes we can operate in the natural, but when we dare to believe that God will choose men and women like me and you, and we offer these up to God, the supernatural happens. The supernatural is something that's not natural. The supernatural is something that's out of our control. So when we pray for people who are naturally sick and they get well, that's a supernatural intervention. When we take our natural provision and we thank God for it and we see it multiply, it's a supernatural provision. So we have more in our hands than just the natural. When I was asked as a 16-year-old boy, what's in your hand? All I could see was skin. All I could see was skin and maybe a bit of dirt. But what this man saw, even looking with his natural eyes, was a young boy that could be trained to work hard. When God looks at me and you, the imperfect were made perfect by that union with Jesus Christ. When he looks at me and you, and we see our inadequacy, he sees a more than adequate person. When we take the natural things and we give them to God, he does something supernatural. So I want to encourage you through asking that last question, that first question, last when I finish this message. What's in your hand? Faith and his word. Just those two things mixed together will take a natural and we will see the supernatural happen. I want you to be encouraged by this word, just to say God uses the ordinary things to do extraordinary things. God uses the weak things to show his strength. He uses the lowly things to elevate us. If we want to save our lives, we have to lose our lives. As we give our life to Christ, he takes it and he uses it for his plans and purposes. Don't be discouraged, church. Be encouraged. You are exactly where God wants you to be. You are in his hands. God wants to do extraordinary things with the ordinariness of your life. Amen. Be encouraged.